This is a special edition here of Frank Moore having a conversation with Paul Krasner. We have two S-T-O stop M meeting.
Like this. Well, what better way? I it's okay. We shook the people who were following us, so nobody knows we're here.
We were J U just T A taking T A K I N taking talking about T A Takayuki. I'm the lover ex DJ Takayuki who quit because lover was too political.
What was too political about what?
Well, at the time, what was going on was the KPFA thing. And Lover covered that. So we were at all the, on the street events mainly.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of interviewing people. And so we had a lot of all-night broadcasts of what had happened that day of KPFA. So that was what was going on at that point.
Well, you know, some people like to separate the peanut butter from the oil, and other people like to mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this individual would like to have kept it separate.
Yes. He thinks he wants P U pure art.
Well, he ain't going to get it here.
I and he did not like the W-A-N G, the anger. He didn't like the anger.
Oh, well, that's something else again. I mean, that's what Ram Dass always talks about. You can protest, but without anger, because sometimes the anger gets self-indulgent. But on the other hand, there are enough things happening that make you angry. So it's really a balance that has to be achieved. I was offered, I got a call from somebody at DC Comics. They had put out a very successful comic book called Uncle Sam, and it was about an alternative view of history as seen through Uncle Sam's eyes, and it was fairly radical for a comic book. And so they called and asked me to do a novelization, to make a comic book into a novel. And so I thought, okay, I could try that, but I wanted to make it entertaining rather than preachy. So I had all of the characters were going to hang around in a place called the American Icons and Symbols Foundation. American Symbols and Icons Foundation. So it's spelled out as if. And Uncle Sam was going to be there hanging around with the Jolly Green Giant and Chiquita Banana and Joe Camel, and he was going to have a sexual affair with Columbia, the gem of the ocean, and while they were tripping on acid. So the editors started saying, uh-oh, I don't know. And I said, okay, I'm going to and it would have been Warner Books, or as it's now going to be called, AOL Books, and it would have been a lot of money, but I just wasn't, I said, look, I want to back out of the project because I don't want to spend a year of my life being afraid of my own imagination. But that was the thing. It just got too political for them, and everybody has their own limits.
But how? Why? Ask you if they don't want it to be political.
That's the paradox. That's the paradox. Exactly. I felt the same way, but that's happened more than once. You know, people want you, but because they like what you do, but because they're in charge, they want you to do it their way. Yeah, the Tiny Tim. You remember Tiny Tim?
Yes.
He was a good example of that. You know, if producers had his way, he would have done nothing but tiptoe through the tulips the rest of his life.
It is like CLE Cleveland. When Frank was invited to do a performance at the Cleveland Performance Arts Festival, and then they said, well, oh, the whole, it was just after, oh, it was just after the Jesse Helms thing. So kind of Frank was like a high visibility artist.
Yes, to say the least.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, no one would have noticed.
Right. But they said, we want a Frank Moore performance because that's what people want. But can you do it without the nudity and without any physical contact? Frank said, well, there ain't much left.
I know. But this is consistent. My wife, Nancy, did video documentaries. And all the local stations in L.A., they would say, you know, we're really looking for something innovative and we like your stuff. And as it would go up the hierarchy, it would get to the point where you'd say, well, this is too innovative for us. So, you know, if it's the old thing of he who pays the piper tries to call the tune.
W-H-I, which is Y-I, always P-R-O, produce my own stuff.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. Then you have nobody to blame but yourselves or the credit, yeah.
Yes.
I know, it's hard to... I know there are people who cry because they can't get a job, and then there are those of us who cry when we think we might have to. And especially for somebody else. I mean, that when I was in college, I was taking a course where I had to get a job, like a work-study thing. And they sent me to BBD&O, which was an advertising agency. And I went in there, and I looked, and they were all in these suits in these offices. I didn't even go for the interview. I walked out. I knew that I was on another planet, and I didn't feel comfortable there. And, you know, those people adapt, and good for them. But I just knew that I was in...
But...
I went to the register in January for where we're supposed to register as an alien at the post office.
But... we always have enough money to do what we want to do.
Somehow,
yes.
Right, somewhere on the cusp between miracles and and coincidence.
Absolutely, yep.
And it's hard for me as an atheist to see the God I don't believe in providing.
Frank always calls it magic.
Yeah, whatever. It's just try and keep your balance.
P-E. People don't believe that it's possible.
I don't believe it's possible. You know, I mean, there have been times when I panicked because I don't know where next month's rent is. And then something happens. But, you know, you can't depend on miracles, even though it's been working for a lot of decades. Still, I just can't take them for granted. Because I know that the God I don't believe in has a lot of this call waiting.
L, you, lover, is a example. Well, technically speaking, we shouldn't be able to be doing this for the small amount of money that we're doing it for. But Frank says we're involved in a number of loopholes. Like, we pay $99 a month. That's all to stream this out to the internet.
Uh-huh.
And technically, when we signed up, we were only supposed to have this many hours of listening time, which we far have exceeded, you know, right from the beginning. Yet somehow they've never noticed or something. And they've since raised their prices even for that, and they never raised our rate. So we're still stuck at this $99 thing.
Right. Let's hope they're not watching.
Yeah. Well, we're always talking about it. So.
There was a story, you know, I went to the Neo-Pagan Festival, and there a lot of women walk around fully naked or just topless, and a lot of the men walk around bottomless. And so I went there to deliver a lecture, and I couldn't resist it, so I started out by saying, well, I'm going to utter just two words now that people have thought of over the years at these neo-pagan festivals, but they've never been said out loud. And then I said, okay, here it goes. Nice tits. and so I was taking a chance because it wasn't politically correct, but there was that split a nanosecond, and then they all laughed because they knew it was true. Okay, so that was the year after that, I got invited back. I went there, and this woman who had been the previous year had just come out of the shower, and she just had a towel around her waist. And she walked on into where I was speaking just as I was saying, nice tits. And so she thought I was complimenting her. So for that whole year, she was telling her friend, you know, Paul Krasner said I had nice tits. So she told me this story, and I didn't have the heart to tell her, you know. So, but I wrote about it. So at the end of the article, I put, I hope she doesn't read this. So what reminded was, I hope the you could see the association there.
It's it needs to go. Oh,
wish. Ah, okay.
When did N-E-N-E-O, Neo, Pagan, S-E-S-W-I switch from J-U just
pagan.
Pagan.
When they became new again, I guess when they don't, you know, when they don't follow all of the old, it's like the old left and the new left. So I think they didn't, you know, they would make fun of druids, for example. So, you know, whenever anybody becomes politically incorrect from the old point of view, they're neo, like neoconservatives, you know, or neo, what else is neo? Neo, nouveau riche, nouveau riche means new, you know. But I don't know exactly when it was, but
it was. N, E, neo, N, Nazis.
Neo-fascists, sure.
Yes.
Yeah, they, because they might not have read Mein Kampf, but they like the swastika, you know. And they, yeah, they. I don't. Everybody has even the yippies. They were neo yippies, you know, who because they were too late for the Vietnam War, but they're still fighting decriminalization of marijuana. And right. It's like the second generation of them.
Yes. The. But.
My friend Julius just handed me a note saying, are neo-pagans unborn again? if they're lucky.
But are not yippies. Yuppies. Yippies.
No, because yippies stood for Youth International Party, and yuppies stood for Young Urban Professionals. They're also buppies, which are black urban professionals, and there are guppies, which are gay urban professionals, and I'm sure, you know, the list goes on and on. But Abby Hoffman and Jerry Rubin used to have debates called the yippies versus the yuppies. So yuppies were not neo-yippies, but they wore neoprene in underwear when they couldn't get leather. But I'm a neophyte.
For the P.E. for the people who don't know you, S.T.A. started, for the people who don't know you, started the yippies.
Oh, well, I didn't start them. I Abby Hoffman and Jerry Rubin and several others were having a meeting I think Colombian grass was very popular then. This was December 1967. And they were talking about plans to go to Chicago in the summer of 68 to protest the Democratic Convention. And so it was a whole group of people discussing it. And my contribution was to come up with the name. Because as a journalist, I know that you need a who, what, when, where, and why, or how. And we had all of them, but a who. And I thought if we could come up with a name, because I remember the hippies had a march called the Death of Hippie, because it was such a media term. And they said, we want to be called Free Americans. And, of course, you're not going to see a little old lady saying, get a haircut, you free American. So I went through the alphabet saying hippy, dippy, hippy, fippy, gippy. And I was about to give up when I came upon yippy. And I knew right away that was it, if I could work backwards. So working backwards, I got the initials Y, I, and P, which would naturally, organically be called yippies. And then I had to come up with words for those three letters. And it was just so organic and natural. Y for youth, which was true. It was young people mostly who were, you know, the hippies and the political activists. I for international, because it was happening not just in the United States, but Paris and Czechoslovakia and Mexico, around the globe. And party, because in both senses of the word, political party and a party. And so it worked. The journalists had something to call it. And the headline in Chicago paper was, Yipes, the Yippies are coming. So it worked. And it gave us free publicity because we had no advertising budget. So, and it's become part of the language. The two words I contributed to the language, Yippies and softcore pornography. Softcore pornography is like when they have a busty model trying to sell you a car or something, you know, using sexuality to entice people into buying something. And you can tell it's softcore porn because it gives men a soft on.
Like S O soft D R I N K, drink, like soft drink.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but they both bring bubbles up. They do call it, so I guess hard liquor and soft drinks. But I remember when I was a kid, the first time I tasted Coke, it really ground on your throat, you know. And then there were rumors that if your tooth came out and you put it in the Coca-Cola, it would dissolve the tooth. Did you hear those rumors ever?
No. Did you ever try it?
Dissolving a tooth in Coca-Cola? It's on my list of things to do today. Put my laundry away, soak a tooth in Coca-Cola, just your daily things.
But there was a time when C.O. Coke was not that soft.
Oh, in fact, when it had cocaine was in the original.
Yes.
I know. That was the secret formula. It's interesting that on the alphabet board you have a few words and time is one of them. I guess that that comes up often. Every moment, actually.
I K keep D I keep R E F I refining the words.
The word, you mean they keep changing on the... Oh, what
when
are some
of... When it gets a new board, it will change.
Oh, that's interesting.
Not much, but
right,
a
so
bit.
Like, is there a word or so that has been eliminated?
In the 60s? In the 60s, S H I shit, P, I, piss,
and corruption.
P, H, U, P, H, U, G, U, P, H, U, G, U.
Fug you.
Fug you. Is that right?
Well, fuck you too.
And the B A no B E S T the best W O the best word. Always after, no, ever. P H A N T A G O
Phantasmagoric.
Oh, yeah, that was right over here, I'm sure. And next year you'll have .com. I think that's going to be some baby.
Well, we just added this to this new board here.
Oh, what is it?
The website and email address.
Oh, that's good. That saves a lot of trying to figure out what word could that be. But, I think that someday, soon a baby's going to be born whose first word is going to be mama.com. I'm sure of it.
S. So, when are you doing a L, a lover show.
I thought this was it. This isn't it?
He's looking for something a little more regular.
Regular? Well, try eating bran flakes then. What would be a regular lover show?
Weekly, monthly, something like that.
You mean
that.
Doing one myself?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant joining you naked on stage.
Well, that too, maybe. Well, that too. Yes.
We could call it soft drinks and soft ons. I don't know. My main passion now is I want to work on. There's a few novels I want to write. The first one is about what a contemporary Lenny Bruce would be talking about. And so when I go on stage, I develop material that the character in the book will be saying. And I resent this imaginary character stealing my material. It's very schizophrenic. Schizophrenic, that's right over here.
He would, could, he could do the show. The imaginary character.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes.
He could develop his.
Right, and
shtick.
He could have an imaginary audience to appreciate it. An imaginary.
We'd have the real audience.
Imaginary critics could write reviews. It would be.
What is he? What's he talking about?
The character?
Yes.
Well, I'm. It starts in 1988. So he was at that point. He was talking about Ronald. I think George Bush just came in 1988. Right. Ronald Reagan was going out. So he's talking about the departure of Reagan and Reagan, for example, when John Hinckley shot Ronald Reagan. Hinckley came out against gun control, and Reagan came out for it. So you knew he was senile even then. So you know, so contemporary stuff as the years go by, and then he gets arrested for a murder that he was supposed to have committed, and he defends himself in prison, and he learns. That you deal with a jury the way you deal with an audience, you know, you try and connect with them, and so that's the challenge to be able to communicate that the comparison of a jury trial and show business, because I noticed that I covered the Patty Hearst trial here and the Dan White trial, and I saw how much they were really like show business, you know, and they both start off ladies and gentlemen of the audience and of the jury. And a lot of audiences are very much like a jury. They sit there and they're going to vote on whether you kill or be killed.
But how about now? What is the topic now?
Oh, by the way, you're guilty of what Tim Leary accused me of when I interviewed him, because he would say something and I would say, but. So I'm sure but is on here somewhere, right?
Yes.
That's the worn out one. I see. Now talking about medical marijuana and the insanity of putting people in prison for taking their medicine. And especially when it's okay by Proposition 215 to do that, but the federal law supersedes the proposition. And so it used to be that George Wallace would block the door to the entrance to the college to prevent blacks from going in and say it was states' rights and that the federal law wouldn't apply. So now I say, and my character says, states' rights. It's not just for racists anymore. So, you know, but and all of this in woven into a plot, a story. So it's a challenge because I've never written fiction before. You have to make up stuff. And so a novelist, Avery Corman, who wrote Oh God, that the movie was based on, said to me, Paul, you've been making stuff up all your life. And I said, yes, but that was journalism.
Or F E D Federal I S M Federalism. B, E, because, F, federal, government, S, A, said, P, O, pot, has, no, medical value or no medical value?
That was one task force for the government, but there's been many government studies contradicting them. Usually, I think it's the pot-smoking scientists who find that it's helpful and the anti-ones who find that it's not helpful. You know, all those studies can be rigged. I once read a book called How to Lie with Statistics. So, you know, all of these things that come out, there's always one on either side, you know, and there's an absolute truth, but everybody has, you know, a lot of the studies sometimes are funded by pharmaceuticals companies, so they certainly don't want the competition from something that you don't need a prescription for. That's why they're willing to let people take Marinol but not smoke marijuana, because you need a prescription to get Marinol. So, you know, it's always, if I don't understand something, the answer is always either money, power, or ego.
Oh, the herb book that I'm reading now? Yes. And at the turn of the century, right, they said that there was a study done at the turn of the century. Let's see. And I can't remember the gist of the thing. What they found, it was deciding who was going to get money and who was going to get funding.
Uh-huh.
Eighty percent of the M medical schools. T A taught the H E herb it was like a combination of herbology and homeopathy and naturopath stuff.
Oh, it's changing. I think maybe even 1/3 of Americans now use some kind of alternative medical practice. Yeah. I saw a doctor, Flash Gordon, who used to be at the Berkeley Free Clinic, I mean at the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic, and he studied, he's a regular physician, but he was studying HUNA healing, where it's the kind of thing where you don't actually touch it, you just move the energy around. So a friend of mine had a back problem, and he was going over her back like that without touching it, just moving the energy around. And he said, and if that doesn't work, take 2 aspirins and call me in the morning. So it was a nice mixture, as you're saying, of yes. Western and Eastern medicine.
But it was the thing about they decided who was going to get funding based on this study. And at the turn of the century, it was still where those types of medicine were still viewed as okay.
Uh-huh.
And then after they did this study, all of those kinds of schools didn't get funding anymore.
Oh,
it was about like
the
companies that wanted to sell the drugs and everything who I think had funded this study decided that they weren't legitimate, right. And that's when all those schools started closing down.
As Lenny Bruce once said, it's so corrupt, it's thrilling.
Yeah. When they A L also G O got R rid of M I D midwives. That's when they also got rid of midwives.
Right, but there's still a midwifery movement going on.
Yes.
A friend of mine, Ina Mae Gaskin, is head of the midwives, and she has a book coming out, and she was invited to talk to a bunch of regular obstetrician gynecologists. So, you know, it's
turning again.
It takes time because the devil never sleeps, and the status quo, you know, is just they hold on. I mean, the dinosaurs wanted to survive, too.
The amount of money being spent on alternative medicine is rising into the billions.
Yes.
And as the money starts making an impression, things like the AMA start recognizing alternative medicine.
Yes.
The money's what's doing it.
Right. Money, power, or ego.
The profession.
Yes.
They want a piece of the return.
But that...
But,
then,
you say?
Then... It will be where's the word, like when what is happening with organic foods, where once the big companies get involved in it, what organic is different now.
You know, consistently all along the line, I remember I went to a Sexual Freedom League New Year's Eve party in San Francisco in 1967, and, you know, it was 150 people dancing naked they rented a theater, and there was a stage with a curtain, and there were about 15 mattresses there, and people who wanted to dance horizontally went back there, and it was something very pure about it. Then recently, I covered a swingers convention at a hotel in San Diego, and they have cruises and they have vacation resorts, and it's like everything else; it's become an industry. That's the risk of freedom, is that people can use it for their own greed.
N O now K no O organic M E means that there no that means 4 9. Well, it was not 49. It was 95%. I think what it was. That's the new legislature that they're talking about passing would mean that you could call something organic if it was 95% organic.
Oh, yeah, there.
But the P R O C
Process
food is 45%.
Oh yeah, I know. And they have things like we only allow 2% rat hairs in it. So they're looking after our interests. I feel very reassured with those things. And then with the genetic fields, I think. There was a thing in Joseph Heller's Catch 22. Milo Mindabinder, who was the real hustler entrepreneur, was selling chocolate covered cotton, and now Monsanto is. That's progress.
that we D E decided we have to eat O organic F food just to K, no, it's not genetically engineered.
Oh, I don't know. I'm it's a mystery to me how they. I mean, what did they do? They did they crossed. They had a monkey and a jellyfish. I think they mixed the sperm or something. I don't understand it. Why they want to? I think I saw a monkey slithering across the shore the other day by the ocean. And they always say, well, this will help stop certain diseases. But, you know, it could be just a bunch of mad scientists with grants.
Yes.
Or is mad scientist redundant?
Why? Are they P I C picking on P O T pot?
Oh, I think because, it's because you know the people who contribute to the Partnership for Drug Free America, which tries to equate marijuana with heroin, they're sponsored by the pharmaceutical companies, the tobacco companies, the alcohol, the booze. You know, it's competition. If people can grow their own high in their backyard, it's going to affect them economically. And also it's a matter of control. They just want to, you know, if you lose control of people, if they exercise their freedom, it's a threat to the establishment. And also that, you know, it's kind of... people are victims of propaganda. I mean, they really believe that it's evil because they, you know, the Just Say No generation, and they have to be deprogrammed from that. And also, there's a, you know, this country was founded by Puritans, and there's a Puritan streak, and they resent pleasure. You know, they feel uncomfortable if other people are having fun, or as John Prine said, illegal smiles.
But
oh, and one other thing, which is that politicians are so eager to be reelected or to stay in office that they won't follow what they really believe. Like Al Gore, you know, he knows that he smoked it himself and enjoyed it, and so did Bill Bradley. But they won't come out for decriminalization because they're afraid of losing votes, so it's fear, you know. But the battle ain't over.
Did you see the HBO? What HBO? The which one? That's one of those. That series, right? Yeah, the one about drugs.
I've seen a lot of programs on drugs. I don't know which one was on CBS.
It's HBO.
Oh, HBO, HBO, CBS, PBS. You know, they all kind of melt into each other.
HBO drug show.
Yeah. What was that series called, Mikey? Was it on HBO? Yeah, it was the 21st Century. They, like, 1 month they would have something on sex, 1 month they had something on drugs. They were pretty good.
I might have seen it. Yeah. But, you know, it all melts into my drug-addled mind.
They, S, H, O, they showed how the D drug L A laws were B A based on R A C I racism.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's true. And people weren't so much worried about marijuana until white class middle kids started smoking it, you know. It was sort of okay, let those jazz bands and the blacks do it on their street corners. But there was certainly an element of racism, yeah. It's true.
And the M U G G L E smugglers?
Muggle used to be a name for pot. Is that what you're talking about?
Smugglers. I think he meant smugglers, but you spelled out muggler. Turns out muggler was a name for pot.
Muggles, I've heard that. Muggles, was it? Yeah. You didn't know that either.
You didn't know that.
You didn't know I'm a Russian specialist. What about the smugglers?
Smugglers were S... H, no, S U P P O, supposed to be the M E X I Mexican W E T. Wetbacks. The smugglers were supposed to be the West Mexican wetbacks.
And they still are. Although now Colombia is the big thing, and you know, I'm afraid that there's going to be sort of like the Colombia will be the equivalent of Vietnam in this hemisphere, because they're you know, because we're supplying supposedly aid to them for the war on drugs, when it's really a war on the rebels there. There's all kind of conflicts. You know, I recently did an interview with Chiquita Banana, and she told me that, you know, in a lot of the Caribbean nations, the people who own... Lindner, the owner of the Chiquita Banana Company, has given loads, big, huge funds to the Clinton administration, and the Clinton administration fought against for the European Union's right to take away the business from the Caribbean nations and buy their bananas elsewhere. So then they're forced to grow marijuana instead of banana crops. And then the U.S. gives a plan to eradicate the crops there. So the poor farmers are the victims in this, you know. And Chiquita Banana, you know, I used to know her as just a street hooker. And now she's an expensive call girl, because they got $10 million suing, I think it was the Cincinnati Enquirer, which exposed all of the slave the slave workers that Chiquita Banana Company had, and they exposed all this. They sued not because anything was untrue, but because in getting the information, the reporters got into the voicemail of the company. So that's what they sued them for. But nothing was untrue that they said, and the investigations are still going on. But yeah, keeps a lot of people in jobs. A lot of people in the Drug Enforcement Administration wouldn't have their jobs if in San Francisco. A friend of mine just got recently arrested because she gave a man a massage and then they discussed oral sex, and it turned out to be a cop because they got a $7 million grant. So they have to justify that grant, so they go around busting people for victimless crimes.
One of our DJs is no in a you Australia Gonzo, yes. I think he contacted when we were, he was trying to get a hold of Flint.
His magazine.
He has a record store and a bookstore.
Right.
And which one did he keep? The record store?
The bookstore
got busted.
Right.
They confiscated thousands of dollars worth of stuff that he won't ever get back.
Yeah. And they sent me, I thought Australia was progressive, but I guess not.
He said Australia doesn't have a Bill of Rights, and that's what he is interested in getting going as a result of this.
I guess
he's getting a lot of press in Australia over it.
Yeah.
They confiscated books?
Yes. All the stuff about marijuana, anything
specific
that has...
Books, not okay.
Yeah, stuff about sex, I guess pornography, drugs, radical.
He sent me stuff on email about it.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I was unable to help him because the last time I saw Larry Flint was in 1978. And I wrote to him once, a friend of mine needed a wheelchair, and I figured he would have one that he discarded because the gold plating was flaked. So I wrote and asked him if he had one of his old wheelchairs he could give her, and he never responded. So I can't be sure he even got the letter, but so right. I just wasn't able to help him.
Right.
But does he have support there in Australia?
It seems like he's getting a lot of press. Uh-huh. I don't know, what's going on now.
Well, press is good because people can see how ridiculous it is.
Why did they bust him specifically? I mean, there must be other booksellers. And
I think they know about him from years. He's been doing this. Like, they take his stuff a lot, like right at customs, and stuff never makes it to him. So he has a long history. Always after all... He is a lover DJ.
Oh.
Figure he's a troublemaker.
Oh, right. By definition.
That's right. only have the best TR. Troublemakers.
Oh, yes. I should hope so.
He is Jay just be a back. Well, we went to a conference in Mexico on psychedelics.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that he taped for Lover. He'll be playing stuff when he starts his show again.
Uh-huh. This was where?
Do you remember where in Mexico? In Mexico. It's like a week-long conference.
Oh, was this this wasn't with Terrence McKenna, was it?
Yes.
Oh, how is he? This was recently?
Yes, just. He just got back.
How is Terrence?
He didn't say anything specifically
about
him. Oh,
because he had a brain tumor. And then got some alternative treatment and was trying everything. But if he was able to go to the conference, I guess he was okay.
Yes.
Was Andrew Weil there?
He hasn't done his report yet, so we don't know the details. So we know he just popped in the other day and said, I'm back. I taped it, and that's all we've heard.
Uh-huh. Yeah, as I understand it, it was about botanicals a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that conference. I would like to have gone.
Yeah.
But it's on my list to put laundry away.
Soak your tooth and coat.
Yeah. And go to Mexican conference. where they rub coke on your teeth instead.
We we went to a D drug. I think we told Paul about this last, because I've heard the interview over on Lover. Uh-huh. We told you that we went to, when they had a conference in this area, and this was with Leary and Ron Doss, and we did tell him about that. Yeah. I F E I felt like I was on drugs at that conference.
Uh-huh. Huh. Maybe you were. Did somebody put something in the drink when you weren't looking? And sometimes just the camaraderie of being with like-minded people like that will make you feel high.
Yes.
The contact high from the sense of community.
Yes.
Plus what they put in your drink.
It was G-H-A hard to get my F I R first A C acid in the 60s because no one wanted to be responsible for giving it to me.
Oh.
Did you get some?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I would have given you some, because I couldn't be responsible. It would have been too late.
After my first trip, it was easy.
Uh-huh. Right, because they saw that you didn't freak out.
Yes.
Or he did.
Or couldn't tell the difference. Seems like a previous incarnation. That whole period, you know.
Yes.
And I don't even believe in reincarnation, but I like the metaphor.
Yeah.
I don't play tennis either, but I use tennis metaphors. Like, in tennis, love is nothing. Love means nothing. So, how we doing?
We doing good? Yes.
I guess you become like a printer when just you probably can't read something unless it's upside down. Like a proofreader.
When he first had the board, it was the other way.
Uh-huh.
People couldn't read upside down.
Right. So
he had to learn to.
Right.
I am a B. I a by.
You always want to fill in the word, you know? Like before when you said F-E-D, I'm saying fed up, FedEx, turned out to be federal. So now I am bisexual, bicoastal, bicarbonate of soda.
Biped.
All of the above.
Yes, that's, and I voted for none of the above, so it balances out.
When I see O U N S counseled, when you counseled people, it C O M E comes on in H A N D handy. When you counsel people, it comes in handy.
What comes in handy?
I S. Oh, he'll start spelling something out, and people will guess what he's saying. So when he's doing counseling, that's helpful to him.
Oh, because
people words they come up
it
with.
It reveals.
Yes.
Oh, it's like a free association test.
Yes.
Uh huh. Like you start to, you want to say, I cut my finger, and they'll go, y'all see. You, who are you calling a cunt?
Yes.
People project all the time.
Yes.
That's true.
They, H, A, N, hang themselves.
Right, exactly. That's an old saying. Give them enough letters and they'll hang themselves.
And... then they think I am P psychic.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Sometimes I wrote a story once, and it was based on Ram Dass, but the character was called Baba Blah Blah. And when he was a kid, he stopped speaking, and he learned that, and everybody would come to him and they would speak to him, and he would just nod. He wouldn't speak, and they would just pour out whatever was on their minds, and they thought he was a great guru. He never said anything, but they thought that he understood so well because all he did was sit there and nod. And yeah, I know people think I'm a psychic because I tell them something, and they forgot they told me once. So, how did he know that? Yeah, it's very impressive. And I don't want to hurt their feelings, so I let them think it. You know, like you let them think you're psychic.
But P A T T I Patty S M Smith got pissed at me because I would not tell her a fortune.
Really?
Yeah.
Patti Smith, the singer? Why didn't you make something up? Like, you will get mad at me for not telling your fortune.
I usually do make something up, but she should you usually take their M-O, money.
Uh-huh. Oh, I could have predicted that. Why not? Did you interview Patty here? Or at a
this
concert?
This was at a book signing thing, and we were just at the book signing thing. And when we went up, she like wanted Frank to read her fortune.
Right. And did she really get mad or just kidding mad?
Oh, she was mad.
Really? So then she could sing a song about compassion and empathy.
Yeah. And T and Y E years later D I R Dirk G gave her gave me a C L I a clip a clipping
a clitoris.
What was that?
Well, she made reference to it in an interview.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In an interview with somebody else?
Yeah, this was like years. Yeah. Well, I don't remember what she said. Do you remember what she said in the interview? It was obviously about Frank.
Yeah.
Dirk didn't even know about this. And he said, look, this sounds like she's talking about you.
The same thing?
It was about that incident.
Just complaining that.
Was she. Do you remember what she said? Yes. Yes. D A damn F R freak did not give me my fortune.
Well, that'll go to a Chinese restaurant. That'll get some fortune cookies and break them open if that's what she needs. Because it's just as reliable. Maybe more. My favorite one was I once got a Chinese fortune cookie and I opened it up and it said, you will enjoy a Chinese dinner soon. I thought, well, that's wrong. I just had one.
It. She. A. S. She asked, would she get M married? That was what she wanted Frank to tell her.
Oh. Wow. To anybody in particular or just in general?
Just in general.
Okay. Well, that's integrity. You could have said yes or no. she wouldn't have known. But you refuse to pretend. Well, I'm proud of you. Shows how desperate she was. She has to depend on any of us to tell her whether she's going to get married. She's not. She did get married, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
Huh.
Yes. After that.
Huh. You could have said yes and taken credit for it. Instead of cash.
I could even S.A. have said, but he will die. Because he did.
Oh. Her husband?
Yes.
Oh, so it's good you left it totally blank. You and I have something in common because she once got mad at me for something. I was on a cable access show, and I think she came to the studio, and I thought that she, I said something about that she should get naked for the show, and she got very angry about that. But she was always talking about stuff like that, so I figured that she wouldn't be prudish. I mean, I didn't mean it literally, but she took it literally, which often happens.
Yes.
You have to have a sign. I'm just kidding. Just a little thing that flashes on your forehead. It's a joke.
A. G. A. Again. what do they, what do they, S, no, what do they, A, C, no, what do they, S, U, P, E, C, suspect, F, R, from, what do they expect from you? What
as,
do they
as a psychic?
As you being who you are.
Oh, everybody does it in terms of their own perception. So her perception was she thought, you must be a fortune teller. You know, so that's how, so everybody has their own tunnel vision.
But you, she should know that who you
sheet.
Are.
Okay, but.
She should have known who you were already and what the kinds of things that you do.
Oh, I never take that for granted.
Uh-huh.
When I came back from Amsterdam, the guy at customs said, Paul Krasner, weren't you with the Jefferson Airplane?
Uh-huh.
I said, oh, yeah, boy, those musical days. He let me go right through. So I know I never take it for granted. You know, just like a lot of people from the 60s, Abby Hoffman, people think, wasn't she a congresswoman from upstate? You know, they,
right.
Although there'll be a movie about him in August, so then people will know, called
cool.
Steal This Movie
is
the name of it. I didn't like it.
Oh, you didn't like the movie? Who is playing him?
A guy named Vincent D'Onofrio, who's about 6.5 feet tall, and Abby was short and stocky. And he tries to imitate his Boston accent, but it sounds more like a strange speech pattern, you know. And Janine Garofalo plays Anita Hoffman, and she's tiny. And so the two of them, where Abby and Anita, you know. And then there's a lot of rhetoric in the movie and the poor script. And he's very preachy, and it doesn't really show his sense of humor.
Mm. Yeah,
oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. They... but they took off on Steal This Book. Was
exactly,
the,
but that shows
their ignorance, yeah. But, you know, it had Phil Oakes opening the movie, singing I ain't Martian Anymore, or some song like that. And then I think they're having Anne DeFranco do it for the movie, her version of that song. So it may be a commercial success. I have no idea, but everybody I knew who saw it was disappointed. And I knew the director, and I avoided him when I went out after seeing the screening in the hall. But if he had caught me, I would have said, oh, it made me cry. And I would have been honest.
They
yeah,
always, gentle. They always, A, ask. They always ask, too, what did you think?
I know.
That's not what they mean.
I know, and you it's very difficult when you know somebody and you want to give them honest feedback, but you know how defensive and how vulnerable they are.
Too late for honesty.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I never ask anybody about what
right.
they thought of my work, because I don't want to put them on the spot.
I don't want to know. Frank said he doesn't want to know.
You don't want to know what they think of you?
What people think.
Oh, bullshit. Yes, you do. B?
Yes.
Fucking bullshit. No, you really? You wouldn't read a review of one of your performances? But I wouldn't appreciate it?
I read them. But
you don't care? Is that it?
Is that it? Yes.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I feel the same way. I once got a review that said, give this man a saliva test, you know, like I was in a horse race or something. And I used that in the ads. I had my picture there with that headline, give this man a saliva test. My mother felt a little bit embarrassed by it, you know, I just couldn't take it personally.
I-S-C-R-E-A screen C-R-I critics.
Screen
them?
Like
screen critics.
You mean like only let the favorable ones in?
My P performances are all night. They last all night. Two, four. They go anywhere from all night to 48 hours in length, his performances. So it's a natural screening process.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's right. They last longer than the critics.
Yes. Oh, only the CR critics who like that sort of thing are inclined to go to it.
Oh, that's right. So they screen themselves in,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Yeah, that works. Huh. Did anyone ever stay for 48 hours? A critic?
Yes.
Which one?
Boy. Can you remember?
Uh-huh.
Well, Barbara Smith wrote something about...
Oh, I know her.
She lives in Venice.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. She wrote something.
She did some performance art, I think, of people going into tunnels and humming, you know, to get the different sounds of the tunnel because it has a great acoustics there.
Yes.
And like, choruses would just stop and go into these tunnels in San Francisco. Or I guess she might have done stuff here, too, as well as in L.A., but, yeah, I don't know what she's doing now.
We did a PRI private performance. Barbara and Frank did a private performance.
Uh-huh. In somebody's home, you mean? Or
at our Frank's studio.
Uh-huh.
But... C A R R Car. Oh, C Car of the Village Voice stayed at a one in New York City. She stayed for the whole thing and participated.
Uh-huh.
And I Frank felled her up at the end. She came up to talk to him and he was
did she include that in her review?
Yes.
Oh, really? Did she respond?
How to get a G good review
or a bad review? Huh? But certainly an unusual review. Huh. Not many reviews are written about groping. Except in the Daily Grope.
Where can people see you?
Oh, you mean when I'm in town here? Oh, well, let me read from my little schedule.
Yes, or... wherever, because it goes out to the whole world.
My envelope underneath there? Yeah, I got it. I thought just in the Bay Area.
This goes to the whole world.
Oh, to the whole world. Oh.
Yes. But we would like to hear about the Bay Area, too.
Oh, well, in the Bay Area, tonight, Monday the 13th, I'll be at the Booksmith in San Francisco at 7:30. Wednesday, I'll be at the Modern Times bookstore in San Francisco at 7:30. And Thursday, I'll be at City Lights in San Francisco at 7 p.m. But where can they see me? Otherwise, in New York, I'm going to be on a panel about humor with Jules Pfeiffer and Dick Gregory and Calvin Trillin, who writes for The New Yorker. And that'll be at NYU on April 20th. And then I'll perform at the in New York on April 22nd at the Bitter End. And then in Chicago on April 28th and 29th, I'm performing for the Prop Theater. And then it's right before a Terry Southern play opens. It's a Terry Southern Festival. And Terry, in Chicago, yeah, Terry Southern's son Niall and a co-author wrote a play about Terry Southern, and that's going to be at the Mercury Theater in Chicago on the 30th of April, and then on May 1st, where a bunch of us are doing a reading about stuff about Terry Southern and by him, and so people coming in for that are Rip Torn, George Siegel, David Anram, the musician, Professor Irwin Corey, and myself. I'll be reading in my new book, Impolite Interviews. There's an interview with Terry Southern, and so I'll be reading from that. Otherwise, I'm going to be a hermit and stay home and write.
And do a lover show.
we're back to that.
Frank, you sell used cars in your spare time?
Yes. But do you need one?
No, I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yes. You do need one.
See, he is a psychic. Would you tell my fortune?
And I have the EXA exact M
model. Well, I guess you guessed you're the psychic. Huh. You know, I still don't know how to drive. So, and I just wrote an article for the New York Press about, they've done studies, and they find that people who are stoned on pot drive even more carefully than people who aren't stoned, because they want to be extra careful because they're stoned.
Yeah.
And so now Clinton assigned a task force to come up with recommendations to make first-time teenagers who wanted to get their driver's license to make them pass the drug test. And then, because they don't want anybody, a teenager, to sue because of age discrimination, then they suggest that they would have to test some people over 18 so that they couldn't be sued for age discrimination, which means that even now, I couldn't get a driver's license, even if I learned how to drive. So I think that's a good example of creeping fascism.
Yes.
You know, it comes in many different ways.
Yes. Like your L.U. lover. Like your lover show. Could.
I thought I got you off the track.
Could be C called that. Called P A Paul S Paul's C R A
Paul's crap?
W.
Paul's Crawl.
Crawl. Paul's. Crawl. S. Space.
Paul's crawl space. Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, where I keep all my stuff. My stuff and my crap. I try to keep them separated. Paul's crawl space. You know, when I first started doing comedy, I used the name Paul Maul. M-A-U-L. And they would introduce me, and that would get the biggest laugh, and then it would go downhill after that. So I dropped that. But, no, I'm going into early retirement.
Too late to go into early retirement.
Oh, that's true. Again, I mean, I retired when I was six. I peaked.
He gives. He thinks. I. T. Take. No for an answer.
What? What part of laziness don't you understand? I always took that question literally when people have T-shirts. What part of no don't you understand? Well, I get the N, but I'm having a little trouble with the O.
W-O-R-N, worn down, D-O. Oh, Dr. Susie Block, he finally wore her down, and
oh,
she has a show on here now.
Oh, great. Oh, she deserves to be worn down.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a video show. The first feature was the new horny housewife.
Oh, yeah. Neo horny housewife. The Neo's everything.
But he worked on her for a year.
Uh-huh.
And finally she said yes.
And wore her down for what?
To do a lover show.
Oh,
so
uh-huh.
Now she has a lover show. Uh-huh. Sunday nights. Yeah. Sunday nights.
And what is it exactly?
It's a video, an hour video show. Uh-huh. She sent us tapes, 10 shows worth of tapes that she's already done, and we air them once a week.
Oh, so a lover show is somebody else's show that you use?
It's like a show that somebody else creates and gives to us. And if they can't do it live on their computer, and then we do it from here, and we schedule it, and it's a weekly show, but we play it on tape rather than live.
I see. So,
you could do it that way.
She wouldn't take no for an answer. I mean, she finally gave in.
Yes.
Well, look, you know, I'm ready to buy a car, and I don't even drive.
What is she, a doctor of?
A doctor of bullshit. She interviewed me once for the LA Weekly, and you know, the interview was a lot about her for some reason. I couldn't understand it.
For my interview, they were busted, but the LAPD busted them the night there. Was Frank was invited as their guest to be interviewed.
Oh, I read about that.
It was the second bust just happened. This was like a year before the first bust happened. It was undercover. A couple undercover cops were there who we hung out with because we were there early and they were there early.
Did you know? What did you think they were?
We thought
guests?
They were weird.
Uh-huh.
We thought they were weird. It was a guy who was a baseball player, basketball player.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know much about basketball, but I knew it was basketball season.
Played in Colombia or somewhere
in
like
South
that.
America. The more we'd ask him, the more far-fetched his story would get. But well, why aren't you playing now? Well, I'm on disability.
Uh-huh.
then he was going to open a cafe, a coffee house, and that was when we this big black guy, you know, he's offering opening a coffee house with the money he's made from South American basketball.
No, these guys aren't used to asking questions. And so they busted him for porno or what?
There was a child, an underage, one of her guests, an LA DJ, I guess a popular DJ that she does a show with, brought his kid.
Uh-huh.
And normally she doesn't have kids there, but she decided to just let it go.
Right.
And they weren't there to bust them, but when they saw the kid there, they decided they would bust them.
Oh, what were they there for?
They were there to survey.
Oh, to survey,
yeah. They didn't actually end up busting them. F R I Wright. It was right when the interview, Frank's interview segment was about to begin. That's when her producer came down and said off air to her, "Don't get nervous, but we have the whole upstairs is filled with LAPD." Uh-huh. But keep going with the show. Okay, it's time for
whenever
Frank's
anybody
interview.
Says, "Don't panic," I do. And so they didn't get to interview you then?
She did. She did the interview. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. A, S, as, they, B, E, beat the DJ up upstairs.
Really? Wow.
Well, the cops started manhandling his kid, but he didn't know they were cops at the time. Uh-huh. And he said, "What are you doing to my kid?" And then they started beating him up for giving them a hard time and eventually revealed that they were cops, which, I mean, as if that was okay then. But there just happened to be a cable TV crew there and an attorney.
Uh-huh.
That both were...
How fortunate.
Yes, and when they went upstairs and started filming what they were doing and the attorney introduced himself, all of a sudden they backed off.
Uh-huh. Huh. See, if you were a psychic, you could have predicted that whole thing. You know, and then not showing up.
When was that?
It's about a year ago. I don't remember. Yeah.
Outrageous.
And then the recent bust was for, but it fizzled out for some reason. I forget the details, but I read about it.
That we, there, S, T, O, store, their STO story was. There was a R R O R O. There was a robbery next door, and they saw the robbers run into the gallery.
Right.
And so they spent hours in there.
Yeah.
After they said that wasn't true, and then they spent hours in there.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Looking for the real killer of Nicole Simpson.
They need B E better. W, R, writers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Better stories, too.
Yes.
Basketball player in South America. even criminals come up with better stories.
S, H, O, short. Oh, that's right. He was short. That was the thing. Oh. He was a short black guy. Right. Uh-huh. That was the first thing that made us suspicious.
Oh, the basketball player.
Right. That was right. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he played in Ecuador where all the men are small. So he was really the giant among them. When I was in Ecuador,
Ecuador might have been a country, so maybe we didn't get it. There was more, right.
What, it might have been what?
It was Ecuador that he said.
Oh, really? Yeah. Uh-huh. Right, so he was a giant among midgets. Because when I was in Ecuador, there was a group, the Otalavo Indians, but they were squat, you know?
Yes.
So, but... who knows? If he was telling the truth, that makes it even more bizarre than if he was making it up. Huh. So, the kid was there. I mean, did she get undressed or just talk about sex? That's what she usually does.
There was nudity, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. That's the reason.
Yeah.
So they always bring the kids in. Yeah. You know, protect the kids.
H, E, G, hey, we, B, brought, we raised our kids at the Mabuhay Gardens when we were doing the Outrageous Beauty Review, and we even put them in the show, and there was all nudity all the time.
Oh, I know where are the Mabuhay.
Mabuhay is in San Francisco. Broadway. It was, yeah. Broadway, it's like the punk mecca in the
I remember that, yeah.
We did a show there for three and a half years every Saturday night.
But the Mabuhay was a functioning place, and they weren't trying to bust it. It was getting along.
The owner always got nervous about his liquor license, but the Dirk who ran the shows always stood up for Frank, and so we just kept going.
That isn't Dirk Richardson I see in here.
Dirk Dirksen.
Dirk Dirksen.
Yes. Okay. And B... are brought in, brought one to SU. Susie brought one. But he wasn't a kid anymore. The one who grew up at the Mabuhay, but now he was over 21. Or one of our kids, we brought him to Susie Blocks, and he was very impressed with Dad. How to impress your kid.
Yeah, right.
He had women sitting on his lap the whole time.
Oh, Daddy. Yeah.
Kept looking at Frank. But when the B-U-S... the bust happened and just to see the whole, you know, why were they getting busted? What was going on?
Right. Oh, so it was a little, an education.
Yes.
Really.
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, a lot of kids were educated that way and still are being.
Yes. Thinking of wrapping it up. Yes.
All right. Make believe I've left. And then, I wish I asked him that. And then ask me that now.
That is why I want you to do a lover show.
You're like a salmon swimming upstream. I can't help it. I have to spawn.
See?
All right. I'll think about it.
When?
When will I think about it? When I'm out of your reach.
And... never.
Yeah. But if I do it, you'll be the first to know. Fair enough?
You can just mail old tapes.
Oh, if I can find them in my crawl space. Just remember, though, what's on to you is no to me. Is that right? Yes, it is. Yeah. Just making sure I said it accurately. Okay, well, let's end with me asking you a question then. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the future?
Oh, optimistic.
Because? Chromosome damage. Foolhardiness. Blind to reality.
People always think on... in terms of WAR war, WI N-N winning or losing. But there we are not on in a war. We are in a evolution. P process.
Good, I like that.
And the M U T E mutants always E E F effect that P R process.
That's right. I think you can't have evolution without mutants.
Evolution is mutant survival.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Good last word. It's been a delight.
Okay, so that's it. We'll replay this tonight at, what was it, Mikey?
10 p.m.
Pacific time, and then it will also be the conversation show on Sunday, 5 p.m. Pacific time. And check the schedule for your time zone. Okay, your player's going to stop. We've been here with Paul Krasner, and you have to hit start again, and then there'll be music.